exalt your majesty, to declare your holiness, your faithfulness to all generations. Your mercy, so God. We worship you, yes, Lord. We thank you, Lamb of God. We honor you, Lion of Judah. It is because of you we can stand this day before your presence. It is because of you our sins are forgiven. It is because of you we have obtained mercy and find grace in the hours of need. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy of all our praise. You are worthy of all our worship, for you alone deserve it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. We need you. Teach us how to worship. Teach us how to praise. Teach us how to please the only one that deserves glory and honor. Holy Ghost, we need you. You are all we have. The one alone who can guide us into all truth. You are the Spirit of truth. The only one who opens our eyes to behold wonderful things. The only one who gives us truly a heart of gratitude. Heart of praise. Heart of thanksgiving. Precious Holy Ghost, we cannot praise without you. We cannot worship without you. We don't know what to do outside of you when it comes to your kingdom. So we ask, God, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every thing I see in you, I come to. Every hour we need so as now I say, if you we come to thank you. I want to raise some scriptures as we continue what the Lord is doing. Amen. Amen. Later, we're going to continue worship. I just want to share a few things with us. Amen. Thank you so much, Daisy. For we are the circumcision, if you want to call it born again. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had, wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, consigning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless. And I counted all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, not some. And I do count them but dung, trash, that I might win Christ. And found in him, not having my own righteousness. Verse 10 is really where I was going to. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, unto the restoration of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or matured, but I follow after, if that I may comprehend or apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul, his name used to be called Saul. He's been in church all his life. He was raised up in the Bible. He has memorized the Bible. He was well known and recognized even by the fathers of the church. His name was called Gamaliel. He was one of the best teachers of the Bible. Paul was raised in the best theological school, a Pharisee. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was called Israel, real Israel. Paul was raised in church. And he's been in church for so long. He's been in church. And loved God. And he says zeal. He had a zeal for God. But something happened. Something happened that changed the course of Paul's life forever. Forever. Paul had, first, he had an experience. An experience that drove the conviction, an awakening in his heart, drove him crazy. And he didn't know what made him so angry until he found out why. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't know the depths we are buried in religion until something like COVID-19 comes. We don't really know the God we believe until trial comes. We don't really know if we're Christians until persecution comes. Paul was in church all this while and has gone so deep in church, in the synagogue. One day, they heard a man preaching completely a different message. It was the same, some of the scriptures was what Paul has read. But what he was hearing from this person was different. And the more they heard this person preach, there was something different. And the more they heard him, what he was preaching, he was telling them basically the God that you're reading about is not the God you are serving. Because the God you are serving is not the letter, is a real God. And when he finished revealing God through scriptures, these people that were being in church for so long were angry. Who are you to tell us we are not Christians? Who are you to tell us that I've been serving God all these years that we don't know what we are serving? And they picked up stones and they started stoning him. His name is called Stephen. And as they were stoning him, the more they were stoning him, Stephen didn't defend himself. Stephen just was gazing at heaven. He was experiencing a vision. And Stephen was in the spirit. And he was experiencing that the Bible says Jesus stood up for him. And they were stoning him, and the more they were stoning him, the Bible says his face looked like that of an angel. They didn't know how to describe the glory of God upon him. And as they were killing him, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of stoning to death, one of the most painful deaths we cannot even imagine in our time. You rather let your head be chopped off and you're dead than people stone you until they stone you, until the pain and the stoning shatters you and you die. Agonizing. In the midst of this pain, they heard Stephen cry out, "Father, hold not this against them." Basically, the very same character Jesus displayed on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. In the midst of nails, in the midst of hammer, in the midst of pain, something other than the flesh spoke. beyond the flesh cried out of Stephen's spirit, don't hold this against them. Forgive them. Paul had it. And that day he knew the God he's serving is different from the God of Stephen. And the conviction was so strong, he took charge and said, he killed and killed, and they killed Stephen, and Paul took responsibility for his death, because he says, whatever you are serving is completely different from what I'm serving. And what I'm serving has to be the true God, because I've spent my whole life for this, and there's no way you're going to tell me you're bringing another doctrine. So we must destroy whatever it is that is directly opposite to the experience we have. I cannot live to see anything like that. It's heresy. And Stephen died and became the first martyr in the New Testament. So Paul left that place, could not sleep, could not rest. He became, even though he killed Stephen, what came out of Stephen's spirit was still haunting him, was still tormenting him. He had a man forgive his enemies. He had a man show love at the worst time of his life. He was a man refused to compromise in the face of. He says, this cannot be real. I can imagine Paul sitting up at night and saying, until I destroy every trace of this force, this blasphemy, this lie. Why? Because it's convicting to me. And I cannot accept it, because I've spent my whole life in what I believe. And so Paul said, took permission from the Sanhedrins, from the leaders, of the religious leaders, they signed, they gave him permission to go ahead and destroy and wipe out and imprison and stop what they consider to be followers of Jesus. And as he went along doing this, he was truly scattering, he was truly destroying, he was truly killing, he was truly imprisoning them with zeal that what he believed all his life was right, and could not allow that to be blasphemed. As he was doing that, Acts chapter 10, the Bible says heaven recognized Paul's heart. Paul was literally under conviction. He didn't know it. And Jesus came, said, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, the light, when Paul shares his testimony as he went forward to different kings and governors and leaders in those days, he said, the light of the glory that he encountered was brighter than the sun at noon. Paul was crying for something. Paul was seeking for something all his life, but all he had was religion. Out of this cry, Jesus came to him in person, and Paul encountered true Christianity. Paul experienced Jesus. And when he experienced Jesus, one of the 19, all the epistles of Paul describes the experience of somebody who truly encountered a real God. And one of those experiences, one of those descriptions is what Paul was giving to the Philippian church that I just read to you. And he said he has not only given up everything that would hinder him from finding God,
He's not only giving them up, but he counted anything and everything that will limit him to the glory of God as trash. Because he encountered something that he could not compare with anything else in the earth. Then he said, he's not only giving up everything, but he said, he's willing to give up whatever it takes to know Jesus even deeper. At this point, he's writing. He's already experienced a lot. This is far beyond his first and second missionary journey. He's founded these churches. He's discipling them. He's writing to them. He's had so much experience. He's had depths of experience of God. But look at what he's writing here. After describing some of his experiences, he went to the bottom I wrote to. He says, but this is one thing I'm doing. I am pressing even more. I'm going deeper. I'm seeking deeper. I'm crying out for more. And the only way I can do that is to forget what I experienced yesterday. What I had yesterday, I had to put it behind me. I have to press on to what I have not experienced yet, because I know as you behold him, you go from glory to glory. I remember growing up, for some reason, I just can't explain it, but when we go home for Christmas, those of you from Africa, you know, most people travel home for Christmas, you know, just be with family. We'll be around all these traditional people, and they'll be doing all these different things. And of course, being in the village, you know, it was very common. It was their lifestyle and culture to worship idols. And in our village is this massive, one particular place, they had this big tree in our village from surrounding areas. And they built a big altar and a massive tree there. And every time I pass there, the son is my friend. Sometimes I go visit them. Something in me says, I cannot believe that people are worshiping this. I was not even a Christian. There's something about the idols, no matter the stories, something just inside of me just said, why? I don't know God, I wasn't born again, but when I look at the sky, I said, why will anybody exchange these things for the God that created this universe? And as I grew and went through the Catholic and went through very background, I would see Christianity, I would see, there's just something I just said, I really want to know. Because what I'm seeing, I'm not convinced. I didn't have the opportunity to research all, I didn't know anything about moves of God. I was just what I was seeing. So when I experienced God here, God knew I could not settle for anything but encounter that will convince me that this God that wrote this Bible is still the same. And when that happened in 1991, from that day to this moment, I refuse to look back at what happened yesterday. I can refer to what happened yesterday, but every day I say, God, there is more. Yeah. If you understand the level to which the church has come to absolute religious lifestyle, if you tell a child that is raised up today, a child that is probably in high school or in college today, and say what today that we have the law has legalized as same-sex. What is now a natural law in the land was something, not something, the Bible till today calls it an abomination. If you say that, the reason I'm saying this is, what you don't know, when you grow up in what you know is what you believe. Paul grew up and grew up in religion. And that's all he knew. And he believed it with all his heart. He gave his life to it. He gave everything to it. And he did not know. There's a difference between religion and living for God. Gideon said, in the book of Judges, when the angel appeared to him, there was some persecution going on and Gideon was hiding from place to place, for food. Gideon asked a question to show you the hunger in his heart. He says, where are the miracles? Where are the wonders? Where are the testimonies of our fathers? At least Gideon still had question inside of him. Many of us today are still coming to church, living in church, and don't even bother to cry out, God, am I experiencing what I'm reading here, or am I living by the standards of what a pastor is living, or what this elder, or what this God, am I measuring with your word, or am I just living just like everybody else? I want to read a scripture to you. And this scripture brought a lot of questions to my heart. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall come from the new pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt not be afraid. For the terror by night, nor for the pestilence that fly by day. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And it goes on and on. David said, that there's a place he found, that something can happen. So 1,000 on this side and 10,000 on this side. Real situation. Real devastations. Real plagues. Real problems that people face. That can happen. But David said, from his relationship with God, from his experience with God, he found out that there is a father who has the capacity to keep his children. There's a father that cares enough, if you know him, that will protect you from danger. That will provide for you, that will care for you. It's not a God, just a God. But it's a father. And it's a covenant he's made with people. And he gives that covenant to generations. And as many that trust in that covenant, David said, and have, and they know him. I read this. This is in the Old Testament. And And then I read what Jesus has done. I read the victory of the cross, like, and here we are. The people, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing, and hearing, what? The word of God. The word of what? What do you think that Paul is saying? Paul is making it very clear that we are humans, but we are spiritual beings. That if the information and the inspiration you build your actions and your life on is inspired by only what you see and the evil you see. Last week I told you, what do you see? It all is what Pharaoh is doing and what Pharaoh has the capacity to do. What the armies of the Syrians are doing, and what they have the capacity to do. What the devil is doing and what the devil has the capacity to do. If that's all we preach to ourselves, is that all we remind ourselves, is that all we talk about, that's what we believe. Because faith, whether negative or positive, comes by hearing and seeing. We have not entered yet the trials and the persecutions of our time. This is just the beginning of the test. And we believers, quote, Christians, we preach coronavirus more than we preach Lord. We preach coronavirus more than we preach the promises of the scripture. We preach coronavirus, everything that it can do, we preach it to the point that we believe it more than what the blood of Jesus has promised us. Am I saying we should be foolish and ignorant? No. The Bible says, don't let what you eat cause your brother to stumble. That's the reason we say, you can wait. But when you exalt something so much that the Bible becomes nothing, who do you believe? Whose report are you basing your life on? Whose testimony are you born again? Somebody called me before the service. He said, you know, he's helping people doing stuff and very careless and caught the coronavirus. And somebody else called him, whichever they were calling. He says, this is somebody with a loving heart. He caught the coronavirus. And if you see the way he's talking, put it as if it was something he should worry about or fear. He said, I caught the coronavirus and I went to the hospital. They gave me IV, they treated me. It only lasted 3 days and they said I'm good. And then they told me to quarantine for a few, and I've been quarantined, and now I'm past it. I'm going back to work this week. And then he says, please, can you help me? I have another lady that called it. She went to the hospital, they treated her, they said she's okay. She can go and quarantine. She's somewhere in the hotel. Can you arrange so that, you know, I can go take care of her? He is thinking about other people. He's wanting to go help somebody that just came out of the hospital, still a little bit symptomatic. He says, she will sit at the back of my car. Both of us are wearing masks, but I can't leave her in this situation, she said. Other people are running from people that they hear that you have this, you have this. What is coronavirus? Somebody just said, I just had it, went to treatment, going back to help somebody else that is just recovering from it and not even think anything about it. Other people are hearing that somebody had in the distance, they are running the other miles. Why do we promote evil so much to the point we are paralyzed as believers? Where is the love of God? Something that it's all over the news. body, and the church is but the story of fear. Where is the Bible? Where is the God we preach about? Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. If in the course of serving God it happens, God will heal you. If not, this guy just went to the hospital, they treated him, he went home. Look at the statistics of how many thousands caught it, how many hundreds caught it, how many did you hear die currently? I'm sure God is answering prayers. People are going to the hospital, recovering, coming out everywhere. And you're just allowing the news drive you to a stupor of fear. If CNN and Fox News is now better than the Bible, my brother, you better go find another Jesus. There's a place to listen to people, understand people. You can be reasonable. David came to the camp where Saul was, and all these people were paralyzed by Goliath. Paul wanted to know Jesus, because he heard from Stephen. David encountered something. He saw God bringing through a bear and through a lion. He was not just religious. He knew he was circumcised and God would defend him. If you don't experience trials, you don't really know what you believe. And I say it over and over, because I say, I will tell you, that's, I always tell her that, and I keep it as a cornerstone. I said, listen, you can love me all you want, sweetie. I want to know that when we're facing trials. I joke about it, but she knows I'm serious. Trials doesn't mean it will separate us, but trials show you where your love level is. Where your humility, your meekness, your gentleness, your patience, your faith level is. That's why trials are good for us. Or else we'll be fake and not even know it. Like Paul. Do you want to sit in a religious church for 30, how many years, and not know you are fake? And putting your faith in religion only to find out that Stephen, if it wasn't for a martyr Stephen, Paul would have still been writing theses and theological books and teaching hundreds of people a way that does not lead to the cross. All of them were talking about Goliath. The brothers were like, what are you doing here? But somehow David just said, sorry, but somehow I'm sorry, I'm born again. There is a promise here. Why do you think Esther would say, if I die, I die? He knows there's a risk to crossing the line. But he wanted to put God ahead. He wanted to stand for God. You can be sick, but God will heal. Anything can happen, but don't let fear paralyze your ability to taste and see that God is still a caring God. He's a healing God. He's a protective God. He's a caring God. He doesn't say lose your wisdom, but he says don't lose your faith. Amen. And nothing has started yet. He said, I understand Goliath is great. But you know what? He's not circumcised. He's not on God's side. I am circumcised. I can fight him in the flesh. But I know that God has made a covenant with my forefathers. And if I stand on that covenant, I know he will defend it if I still believe it. Gideon said, where is the God of our fathers? That's what we should be asking ourselves. I read Psalms 91. I just told you that. What is he saying? Are we just reading Bible? He said plagues will come. Things will come. All these things will come. He says it will not even come near you. Is there something David knew that we need to find out? Or do we just continue religion? Or do we just continue singing this song? Or do we find out what this man is talking about? I don't consider anybody my friend that threatens me with bad news in the form of I'm trying to tell you something. I can take facts, but if you push it above my understanding of what God can do. God gives wisdom. I will love you, but you're not on my camp. The Bible says by faith they prevailed. By faith this, by faith that. It is time for us, if we don't believe this Bible, go serve a different God. Our faith has to be tested. Abraham waited on God for years. I respect people who wait on miracles. I respect people who wait on promises. That doesn't mean they don't trust God. That just means they trust God. That doesn't mean you don't go to doctors, you don't check, you don't do this. Of course, doctors have their part. But you must always know. Let me give you an example. Somebody came to fix my air conditioner the other day. I've learned from experience. That's why if somebody said, I'm going to the hospital, he came, if I wasn't praying and said, God, please, you know, and I decided to stand around that. These are professionals. He made some mistakes, got really angry, cursing the machine, he was going to rip something. I said, can you wait and just check here. When he calmed down, he checked. He did all the things and he said, thank God I did push all those things apart. It would have taken me more hours to, and then it would take him hours to put back the things he would have torn apart, and he's going to put it on my bill. And all those was out of anger, pulling all the wrong tricks. And the only thing he needed to do was just take some few screws out here and then do what he wanted to do. But he was so frustrated because the spanner was slowing down. You make mistakes. People can make mistakes, no matter how professional they are. That's why, even though you do that, still you have to, David says, some put their trust in chariots. He uses chariots. But what he's trying to say, my confidence in chariots is not the chariots in God. You fly the plane all the time, doesn't mean the pilot is your safety. So I'm not saying you can't wear masks, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. But please, don't deny the word of hope and faith and God and wisdom. It's the beginning. We must pass this test.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Our eyes are upon you. We look to you, to your word. Father, if you did this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. There comes a time when we cannot wear your word with the words of the giants of our days. There is no comparison. Peter said the trying of our faith is like precious gold put in a fire. The only way our faith can grow is that we go through these fires. So I can burn out that which is not faith. I want to test that this faith works. Give us the fear of God more than the fear of every other thing. Help us, oh God. If that cross did not happen, if you have not defeated death, today we'll say, okay, there's a reason to fear death. But you've given us victory over death in that blood, in that name, in your word. So today, restore our confidence in you. Restore our hope in you. And help us to stand and preach the word with faith. Let your name be glorified. Give you all the glory. Take us back into that holy of holies. Take us back. Help us find that secret place. It doesn't matter how many people. You said when the wicked are going through, why would the righteous? You said many might be the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver. You deliver. You rescue. You save. You heal. You provide. That is why you are our Father. Bring us back there. Bring us back there. Father, please have mercy on us. Let our faith not be built on religion. Faith be built on your faithfulness, your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.